Imagine waking up, let's say a Tuesday morning in 2028.
Okay, I'm there.
You roll over, pick up your phone, and you just say, plan a trip to Tokyo for my anniversary.
Right. And in the old days, well, like right now, basically, you'd have to do all the heavy lifting.
Exactly. You'd open a browser, search for flights, switch to a calendar app, open a hotel app. You'd spend, 2 hours coordinating the logistics.
Yeah, bouncing between like five different screens.
But on this new phone, you don't do any of that. The phone itself just reads your emails for your flight preferences, securely accesses your bank to check your budget, cross-references your partner's calendar, and it just books the entire itinerary.
It doesn't just show you options, it actually executes the task.
Right. It does it autonomously, and making that reality happen is, well, it's requiring the tech industry to completely rip up the foundation of modern computing.
It's a total reimagining of what a computer actually is, you
Yeah.
know, moving from devices that just wait for our inputs to entities that act on our behalf.
So, welcome to our latest deep dive. Today, we're tearing into a really fascinating stack of sources. Specifically, we're looking at the May 2nd, 2026 edition of the Tech in Morning Tech Newsletter.
And on the surface, this newsletter looks like a totally random assortment of tech news.
It really does. You've got new smartphone blueprints, a global hardware shortage, an upcoming Xbox racing game, and like an urgent cybersecurity briefing at the White House.
It reads like a very disjointed week in the tech sector, to be honest.
But there is a single hidden thread connecting every single one of these stories. The tech industry is currently in the middle of this chaotic, thrilling transition to something called agentic AI.
Yeah, and that shift is about to affect your wallet, the games you play, and even the safety of the infrastructure around you.
So our mission today is to unpack exactly how this is happening. Let's start with the newsletter's lead story. It's a massive report from supply chain analyst Ming-Chi Kuo.
Oh, yeah, this one is huge.
He notes that OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, is fundamentally pivoting. They are partnering with chip makers MediaTek and Qualcomm, along with the manufacturer Luxshare.
And they're doing this to build custom silicon for AI agent smartphones, right?
Yeah.
Targeting mass production by 2028.
Exactly. OpenAI is basically trying to do what Apple did. They want to own both the hardware and the software.
But you know, the motivation is entirely different. When Apple built their custom silicon, it was to make apps run flawlessly.
Right.
OpenAI is building custom chips because the app-based model itself is exactly what they want to destroy. I mean, they want the agent to be the operating system.
Well, the sources call it moving from an app-based model to an agent-based model. And it's not just some distant 2028 dream
No,
either.
it's happening right now.
Yeah. Qualcomm CEO Cristiano Amon quietly announced they are shipping a dedicated CPU for agentic experiences to a major hyperscaler by December of 2026.
And by hyperscaler, we mean a massive cloud provider like an Amazon or Google.
Right. Amon also pointed to agentic smartphones that are already hitting the market, like ZTE's phone with ByteDance's assistant or Xiaomi's myClaw assistant.
And the report specifically notes that myClaw integrates directly into the operating system's kernel to divine user intent.
Okay, we really need to pause on that word, the kernel.
Yeah, the kernel is, well, it's the deepest, most privileged core of an operating system. It controls everything: memory, processes, hardware
But
access.
conditional AI was just an app that sat on top of all that, right?
Exactly. It had to ask permission for everything. But by integrating an AI agent into the kernel, the agent essentially becomes the brainstem of the phone.
Wow.
It can watch how you type, what you look at, and like predict what you want to do before you even realize you want to do it.
Okay, wait, hold on. This is where I'm getting a little tripped up by the Qualcomm announcement.
What part?
Well, for the last 5 years, all we've heard is that GPUs graphics processing units are the undisputed kings of AI. NVIDIA became the most valuable company in the world selling GPUs.
Right.
So why is Qualcomm suddenly bragging about building a CPU for AI? Isn't a central processing unit a step backward?
That is a crucial question, and it gets right to the heart of how an agent actually works. GPUs are incredible at something called inference.
Okay.
A GPU is essentially thousands of tiny calculators. If you ask a traditional AI chatbot a question, the GPU can do millions of simple math problems simultaneously to predict the next word and just spit out an answer instantly.
Kind of like a massive assembly line.
Exactly like an assembly line. But an agentic AI isn't just answering a trivia question, it requires multi-step
Like
reasoning.
the Tokyo trip example.
Yes, if it's booking that trip, it has to look at a calendar, hold that date in its memory, open a browser, read flight prices, compare them to the memory it's holding, and then make a logical decision.
That sounds a lot more complicated than just predicting the next word.
It is. It requires complex branching logic and incredibly fast, low-latency access to different pools of memory. GPUs are terrible at complex sequential logic loops.
Oh, really?
Yeah. CPUs, however, are explicitly designed to juggle complex logic and memory access perfectly.
Ah, I see. Okay, so let's unpack this. An app-based phone is like having a perfectly organized toolbox where you have to do all the work yourself.
Right. You pull out the map tool, you pull out the email tool.
But an agent-based phone is like hiring a general contractor who takes your request and uses all the tools for you.
That's a great way to look at it.
But to support that contractor's brain, they realize GPUs aren't enough. They have to literally rebuild the toolbox, the silicon itself, to favor CPU architecture.
Precisely. They are rebuilding the hardware to support a machine that can hold a thought, execute a step, remember the result, and move to the next step without losing its place.
But, I mean, rebuilding the foundation of modern computing doesn't happen in a vacuum.
No, it definitely does not.
If all these companies are suddenly demanding specialized silicon and massive memory to run these agents, what happens to the rest of the tech world?
It causes a devastating bottleneck, and that is exactly what your next source outlines.
Right. The ambition of agentic AI is literally eating up the global hardware supply. The newsletter details a severe global memory crisis right now.
Yeah, the hyperscalers we mentioned earlier, Microsoft, Meta, Amazon, they're building out colossal AI data centers to run these complex agent networks.
And to do that, they are buying up almost the entire global supply of high bandwidth memory, or HBM.
Because agentic models are incredibly memory hungry, they have to keep so much context, like, in mind simultaneously.
So the major memory manufacturers, companies like Samsung, SK Hynix, and Micron, they're looking at the market and having to make a brutal economic choice.
Exactly. The enterprise AI companies are paying top dollar for HBM. So the manufacturers are prioritizing those massive high-margin orders over standard consumer memory.
Which means the consumer market just gets starved. And the numbers here are stark.
They really are.
Smartphone production is projected to drop 7% globally, while the prices you pay for a new device are rising 15 to 20%.
And Qualcomm expects their mobile chip sales to plummet from $6 billion down to $4.9 billion just in Q2 of 2026.
Samsung actually had to delay their Galaxy S26 phone entirely because they just can't get enough memory chips.
What is truly fascinating here, and, you know, a bit unsettling, is the historical shift we are witnessing.
How so?
For the last 30 years, the semiconductor supply chain was optimized to serve the consumer, you, me, the mass market.
Right, smartphones and laptops.
The sheer volume of those devices dictated what factories built. But now, the supply chain is being forcibly reoriented toward corporate AI infrastructure. AI compute is taking precedence over consumer devices for the first time in history.
And here is where it gets incredibly tangible for your wallet. The sources say Samsung just invested $30 billion into new fabrication plants to make more memory.
Yeah, but it won't provide any relief until late 2026 or maybe even 2027.
Why does it take so long, though? I mean, can't they just run the existing factories 24/7?
Well, a modern semiconductor fab is arguably the most complex machine human beings have ever built.
Really? The whole factory?
Yeah. You are talking about constructing massive, vibration-proof, dust-free clean rooms. You have to order specialized lithography machines that take a year just to assemble.
Right.
And they cost hundreds of millions of dollars each. You cannot simply flip a switch to increase capacity. Building a new fab takes years.
So in the meantime, we are basically paying an AI tax.
That's exactly what it is.
Even if you have zero interest in using an AI agent, your next laptop or smartphone is going to cost you 20% more because the tech giants are hoarding all the physical memory.
They build out their own infrastructure, yeah.
The newsletter explicitly advises that if you need a new phone or a graphics card, buy it now or buy used.
It is a harsh reality. The capital is flowing toward the data center, and the consumer electronics industry is left fighting for the scraps.
And some companies are making a killing off this, right?
Oh, SK Hynix's stock has tripled simply because they have the pricing power in this environment. They hold the water in a desert.
Which perfectly transitions us into the third story. Because if all the hardware is being locked up in data centers by these tech giants, how on earth are PC gamers and creators supposed to run the massively demanding new software coming out this year?
Consumer tech companies are having to do incredibly clever to fight back.
Necessity breeds innovation.
Exactly. And the consumer tech companies are essentially finding ways to fake the hardware they don't have.
Case in point, NVIDIA. According to the newsletter, NVIDIA managed a surprise move to beat AMD's upcoming RDNA 4 architecture,
which is AMD's next generation of graphics tech.
Right. NVIDIA somehow secured enough memory to upgrade their upcoming RTX 5070 laptop GPU. They boosted it from 8 gigabytes to 12 gigabytes of VRAM.
That is a massive jump.
And they're launching it in June 2026, priced around $1,600 to $1,900.
For context, VRAM video random access memory is basically the desk space your graphics card uses to lay out all the textures and models it's actively working on.
So more VRAM means a bigger desk.
Exactly. And 12 gigabytes is the new mandatory sweet spot. Modern 4K gaming and local AI tools simply require massive desk space.
And there is no better example of needing that desk space than the game Xbox is launching on May 13, 2026. Forza Horizon 6.
Oh, the newsletter spends a lot of time on this one.
It sounds incredible. The map is set in Japan. It's three times larger than the last game. You're driving through cherry blossoms in Kyoto and neon-lit Tokyo streets. It has over 600 cars.
But the real technical marvel is this highly anticipated Touge racing mode on winding mountain roads.
Right. Touge racing is all about drifting and cornering on incredibly tight, steep mountain passes.
And from a rendering perspective, this is a total nightmare.
Why is that?
To simulate the real-time physics of a car's weight transferring as you slam the brakes into a hairpin turn while simultaneously rendering dynamic rain and tire friction.
That's a lot of math happening at once.
It's an unbelievable amount of math. All of that requires instantaneous access to massive amounts of physics data and ultra-high-resolution textures.
The sources note that to pull this off, the developers entirely dropped support for the older Xbox One. It is only for PC and the newest Xbox Series X and S.
Because if the VRAM isn't large enough to hold all that data, the system has to go fetch it from the hard drive.
Which takes time.
Right. That fetch takes milliseconds, which causes the game to stutter. In a precision racing game, a stutter means you crash. The illusion completely breaks.
Okay, so NVIDIA finding this extra VRAM is great. But the sources also mentioned they are pairing this 12 gigabyte card with their newly announced DLSS5 technology.
Which is huge.
Yeah, the newsletter says it uses AI to boost performance by four times.
Yes, deep learning super sampling.
So wait, I want to make sure I understand the mechanics of this.
Yeah.
How does AI actually boost a graphics card's performance without using more physical memory?
Okay, think of it like a highly skilled speed reader.
Okay.
If a speed reader looks at a page, they don't read every single letter. They read the first and last word of a sentence, and their brain uses context clues to instantly hallucinate the rest of the sentence.
That makes sense.
DLSS does the exact same thing for graphics. Instead of mathematically rendering every single pixel of that neon Tokyo street, which takes massive computing power, the graphics card renders a low-resolution version.
And then what?
Then an onboard AI agent guesses or hallucinates what the high-resolution missing pixels should look like. It effectively generates entirely new frames out of thin air.
That is wild. But wait, if NVIDIA is using an AI software tool to generate frames and bypass the physical limits of the hardware, isn't AI essentially curing the very hardware shortage it caused in the first place?
It is the ultimate technological irony, isn't it?
It really is.
The massive AI data centers are eating all the physical memory, causing a global shortage and driving up prices. So consumer companies like NVIDIA use an AI agent running locally on the device to mathematically hallucinate the performance they can no longer afford to build physically.
The disease is the cure.
Exactly.
It's brilliant, but also a little dizzying to wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hallucinating frames in a racing game is relatively harmless, but our final story from the newsletter shows what happens when you take these highly capable multi-step autonomous agents, and instead of pointing them at a calendar or a video game, you point them at the underlying computer code of society itself.
Yeah, this is where the story shifts from consumer economics to a very real national security dilemma.
The White House convened an urgent meeting on April 30th. This was prompted by an AI company called Anthropic and their new model, Claude Mythos, which was developed under a program called Project Glasswing.
And the sources state that Mythos can unearth hidden software flaws faster than the world's top human hackers.
We aren't just talking about a program that scans code for known viruses, are we?
No, not at all. Mythos is an autonomous vulnerability discovery engine. It uses that same multi-step reasoning we talked about earlier.
The same reasoning used to book a flight.
Exactly. It can look at millions of lines of code, form a hypothesis about a potential weakness, actively attempt a logical breach, hold that architecture in its memory, and string together multi-step exploits that no human has ever seen before.
which explains the guest list at this White House meeting. Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei sat down with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, and National Cyber Director Sean Cairncross.
Now, the newsletter lays out some very complex political tension here.
Right, and we're just going to report exactly what the sources say regarding this policy dilemma. Mm. We're not taking any sides here.
Right, it's a textbook case of policy colliding with technological capability.
According to the sources, back in February, President Donald Trump banned all federal agencies from using Anthropic software.
And this was due to a dispute over Anthropic placing strict ethical limits on how the government was allowed to use their AI.
Right. Exactly. But now, just a few months later, facing the sheer power of this Mythos model, federal agencies are practically begging for access. The tech is just too powerful to ignore.
It really is.
The text notes that President Trump recently stated the relationship might be thawing, saying in an interview that Anthropic's executives are shaping up and have high IQs.
What you are seeing is the government realizing they are dealing with the ultimate dual-use technology.
Dual use meaning it can be used for good or bad.
Yeah. Mythos is a shield and a sword. On one hand, it's the ultimate shield. It can autonomously scan the software running our power grids, our water treatment facilities, and our banking systems, and just patch critical vulnerabilities before anyone even knows they exist.
But the sword aspect is what keeps the National Cyber Director up at night.
Absolutely.
Because if you can find vulnerabilities to fix them, it can find vulnerabilities to exploit them. It can discover what are called zero-day exploits, flaws no one knows about, at a massive automated scale.
Exactly. And the White House is now drafting an executive order and circulating technical questions to tech firms to figure out a massive logistical problem.
Which is?
How do you prioritize scanning widely used open source coding projects without tipping off attackers?
Because if an AI agent flags a vulnerability in a public code base and a human engineer starts patching it, a malicious actor might see the patch activity, reverse engineer the flaw, and attack the system before the fix is fully deployed.
Yes. And the U.S. government knows that competitors like OpenAI are building their own cybersecurity models, and geopolitical rivals are absolutely trying to do the same thing.
It's an arms race.
It is a total arms race. If a rival nation points an automated AI exploit engine at U.S. infrastructure, human defenders simply cannot react fast enough.
Because a human takes hours to analyze a breach.
Right. An agentic AI can pivot and exploit a new vector in milliseconds.
So the only defense against an AI cyber attack, well, is to deploy an equally powerful AI agent to defend the network.
That is the regulatory nightmare right there. You cannot keep the defensive AI constrained by slow human-in-the-loop approvals if the attacking AI is fully autonomous.
You have to let the agent off the leash to defend at machine speed.
You have no other choice.
Wow. Okay, so stepping back and looking at the entire landscape we've covered today, from OpenAI and Qualcomm literally redesigning the silicon in our phones to support multi-step reasoning.
To the memory crisis that is taxing our wallets and delaying our gadgets.
Right. And we've seen how PC gaming is surviving entirely on AI hallucinations, right up to the White House scrambling to manage autonomous hackers. The core message from the Tech and Morning sources is undeniable.
Agentic AI is no longer a concept. You know, it is the infrastructure.
It's the new foundation.
Yeah, it is the new operating system for our digital lives, and it is reshaping the physical global supply chain just to support itself.
The winners of the next decade, whether you are a gamer, an investor, or a policymaker, will be those who understand this transition. You have to understand the mechanics of what is happening under the hood.
Absolutely. But, you know, if we connect all these dots, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over.
Let's hear it.
We are building custom silicon to give AI the power of sustained multi-step reasoning. We are building agents to anticipate our travel needs, manage our schedules, optimize our game engines, and even autonomously patch our national security flaws.
Right.
If these perfectly efficient agents become the new operating system for our lives, what happens to our own cognitive muscles?
Ooh, wow.
Are we slowly outsourcing our very ability to reason? Because in a future run by flawless machine speed agents, simple human inefficiency might just become the ultimate bottleneck.
That is a staggering thought to end on. If the tools are doing the thinking, what happens to the thinker?
Yeah.
We started this deep dive talking about how technology used to feel like a predictable staircase, a tool waiting for our command.
And now it's climbing the stairs for us.
Exactly. It's clear that the staircase is gone, and the tools are now building their own blueprints. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into your sources. Keep questioning the rapid changes happening around you, and we will see you next time.